and I'm very excited to have our next guest on today. Alejandro Aguilera has been, yes, I pronounced that correctly, yes?
Yeah, Aguilera, uh-huh.
Okay, great, wonderful. He has been controlling his HIV with macrobiotics alone, as I understand it.
Correct.
Most people don't think that diet can control infectious diseases. So this is an extremely important and significant story with incredible possibilities, since infectious diseases are, you know, a primary killer, in fact, probably the number one killer in developing countries. So this is incredibly important to hear, not just for HIV, but for all infectious diseases. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Alejandro. Alejandro, please. Thank you for joining us.
No, thank you for having me, and welcome to everyone.
Yes, I do. I just want to mention that Alejandro is calling in from Switzerland. He's in Switzerland, and that's why he's able to make the call this in the Sunday afternoon. So thanks again for joining us in Switzerland.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And, as Gia said, my name is Alejandro Aguilera, and I was born in Honduras in 1973, and I've lived kind of everywhere. Last place that I lived, or for the longest time now, if we go back, it's been in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and now I just moved here last fall to help my sister with her daughter, to help raising her, because my sister's a single mom. I was involved, I've been the one that's been involved since she gave birth to Valeria, and I am HIV positive, and I would say that, as I was talking a bit earlier before we started, that macrobiotics chose me to follow its path and not the other way around. From the beginning of my studies of theater, voice instructors were like, don't drink dairy, it produces phlegm, you know, your voice will get better. So little by little, I was becoming more in line with macrobiotics. I became vegetarian. And then after that, I kind of fell into the path of drugs and alcohol, all kinds of drugs, from meth and coke and crack, heroin, alcohol, of course, all sorts of alcohol. My favorite thing to drink before going out on weekends was sherry, because, of course, it had the highest amount of alcohol. And then I would go out and proceed, you know, with my whole debauchery. But anyway, in the midst of all this, I was diagnosed in May of 2006, pretty much 2 days after my birthday. It was pretty devastating. My seroconversion started on a trip that I made here to Europe, because I would come and to see my niece and my sister. And my niece was born in 2005. 2006, and by that point, 2005, I was already working on my own recovery of going, you know, treatment and AA and all that. So my seroconversion began while a trip to Turin during the 2006 Winter Olympics. Whether it was the environmental factors of being out in the cold too much, or, you know, being in trains or whatever, but it triggered everything, and it started out as night sweats, and then what I would then get to know to be a viral rash. I would shower, and after I would shower, I'd have this like red rash on my forehead and on my arms and torso. And then shortly after returning to Minneapolis, then in 2006, I got a cold that kept getting worse and worse. And as you probably read on the website, the night sweats were so bad that I would sometimes have to change my shirt, you know, 5 or more times a night. They were completely, completely soaked. And as the symptoms progressed, I kind of knew, being knowledgeable of HIV, and so I feared the worst of it. So I decided to go to three anonymous testing sites, and I was tested there before I agreed to be tested by my own doctor. So altogether, there were 5 tests that were done, 3 anonymous ones, 2 with 2 different doctors. I didn't have insurance at the time, but out of the 5 tests, 3 came back positive for HIV.
Let me ask you something. When you just go back for 1 second, you said seroconversion. What do you mean by that?
Sorry. Seroconversion is when the virus makes its presence known.
Okay.
So then the viral load and the body notices that there's something wrong. So the immune system goes really low, and the virus just proliferates and kind of like makes its presence known, because the virus can live in humans for up to 10 years and just kind of hiding.
Uh-huh.
In that sense, then you really don't know when maybe you can, but they can deduce somewhat where you could have caught it. They can go 6 months back or what have you, and try and figure it out. Which at that point for me, it wasn't really important to figure out how I got it. Still isn't, whether it was through sex or through drugs. What has really helped is just to accept that there now is another organism in me.
Right. You were living in Minnesota this time? Or?
Yeah, I was in Minnesota at that point. And so when 3 out of 5 tests came back positive, I said, okay, I have it. And I started first contacting my attorney and then closest friends. And then I was not going to work and calling in sick and trying to figure out what to do, because I really didn't know whether I should disclose, which is kind of telling people, you know, about it. But in the midst of it all, there was this young bartender, because at that point also I worked as a bartender. I had worked as a bartender in different places, and then I was working at one bar, and so this other bartender suggested macrobiotics.
Uh-huh.
He had tried it with much success, he said. And I think he probably just saw the same symptoms. I never really confirmed with him whether he was positive, but in just talking with other people, I now believe that he is as well positive. And so he said that it had helped him, and then he suggested going to this bookstore, Present Moment, in Minneapolis. I've been trying to remember his name, Dustin or Justin. I can't picture it, but I know he also plays the accordion naked. It's one of the things he does as a sideshow. He told me about the Present Moment and Bob Gallagher, who's the owner, who kind of also healed himself from this kind of attack that he had through diet and through homeopathy. So he's a homeopath as well. And so my soul sister in Minneapolis, Daniela Mendez, I had told her about my situation. She took me that weekend to see the homeopath. And it was a Present Moment that we started browsing through the first the used macrobiotic books and then through the new ones.
Uh-huh.
And then I had my kind of consultation with Bob Gallagher about it. And it was really interesting how he also helped me view the virus, that it wasn't something to be attacked necessarily, but and he was the person to tell me that the body itself seeks to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
That if we don't interfere with its natural process, it will heal itself and will try and prolong life, you know, the way that, like with cancer, that it is a way that the body tries to prolong life because it wants to live.
Yeah.
And so that was my first thought, oh, my body wants to live, you know. And then he asked me, so, well, then do you want to live? And when I said, well, yes, I want to live. And I told him about this bartender talked about macrobiotics. So he took me over to the new use section of macrobiotics. And he told me there's a lot of success. And he told me about the study in Boston.
Yeah.
That was done early in the 80s. And he showed me the book, which I ended up buying eventually and reading it. But Daniela then bought me, because I didn't have insurance at the time. I didn't, you know, and I hadn't been working, and it was a mess. I was behind in bills. And so Daniela bought me my first macrobiotic book, which is the total, the Macrobiotic Path to Total Health.
Yes.
By Misha Kushi and Alex Jack. And so I took that book. Daniela dropped me off, and, you know, in the midst of tears and everything, and, And I was kind of enraged at that universe too at that point. I kind of bruised my knuckles pretty hard because I was punching walls and doors and everything because I thought, God, you know, I've been sobering up and working harder, and why did this happen? Why did the universe punish me, you know? And then I would cry and I would get angry. So between fear, tears, anger. And so then I opened up this book and started reading and it started making sense. I read the whole section on AIDS and it made a lot of sense to me. And also this other friend, Ivan Hidlin, who's a designer, clothing designer in Minneapolis, he told me about the Perth group in Australia, so people out of the mainstream that were doing research on the virus. And so then I read, and it was pretty hot, and I grew up without air conditioning, no air conditioning, so I was dripping sweat and, you know, and the night sweats and everything happening. And I read, and that very night I got up and I started to empty my pantry into brown paper bags. Because I said, okay, I'm going to do this, and I'm just going to start doing it. You know, it's going to be an all or nothing kind of thing. And so I had already given up dairy, but I had started eating meat and all that. So I just put everything in these brown paper bags, groceries, and I got rid of my Teflon and aluminum cookware, took it out to the recycling, which an apartment building that I lived in the back was the recycling thing, so it was really easy. Did complete cleaning of everything. And I took the groceries that I had bought at a neighborhood convenience store and talked with the owner, and I said, look, these products, they're funky, and I returned them. And because it's a neighborhood store, and I knew her and all that, and she allowed me to do it. And then I went to the Wedge Community Co-op in Minneapolis, a wonderful co-op, and I started buying because I made a little list and a little memo pad of the things, you know, on the diet. What's the diet number one? Is it for a yin conditions? And so I had made a little list of things that I needed to buy, and I bought all these things. And as I was checking out, then the cashier was Audrey Jellison. And I didn't know at the time. I eventually found out that she's been macrobiotic since 94. And so she was like, oh, are you macrobiotic? I said, yes, I'm becoming macrobiotic. She's like, oh, that's really good. And she said, do you know other macrobiotic people? You know, was Mary Wing, I believe, that comes to the Wedge. And Gabrielle Cushy as well, lives in Minnesota. And I said, no, I don't know. You know, I just bought this book, and I didn't say anything, you know, why I had bought it or anything, you know, because it's still kind of pretty stigmatized, you know, to have the HIV. And so I started cooking. Of course, the first time that I cooked, you know, I would burn the rice and the vegetables were overcooked, but I would sit and I would be like, okay, you know, the food is going to heal me. And I would chew and I would count and chew and just sit there. Sometimes tears would come up, you know, because I was like, this is my medicine, this is my medicine. And then I knew that I had to change my lifestyle too, because the more I kept reading, I was like, well, it's not just a diet, but it's you have to change your whole outlook. And so I gave up the job that I had, and, you know, at that point I was working like restaurants and bar and all that. And I said, well, that's not good. Because I would do good in my sobriety, but then I would have a relapse. And so then I said, all right. So then this other bartender that I work with, Brandon, he said to me, well, why don't we go to the Wedge? You buy things there. They are always hiring at the Wedge. So I went to the Wedge, and I got a job as the cleaner at the Wedge. So I would clean the toilets in the building. My job would start at 5 in the morning, and I would be done by like around noon or 1. And then I would get 15% off, you know, on health insurance, and they had no pre-existing condition. So all these things started to like happen, you know, from the lady accepting my groceries back to me going to Target and getting stainless steel cookware with Ivan, And then getting the job at the Wedge as a cleaner, starting out, you know, start out in the morning. And as I, at first I thought, oh my God, I have to wake up so early, you know. But the more I ate the brown rice and the overcooked vegetables, the more I found that I needed less sleep.
Uh-huh.
That I would wake up refreshed and with energy, you know, whereas before I would wake up, my breakfast consisted of like those monster drinks.
Mm.
You know, that are pure vitamin B and taurine and ginseng and all that. And
right.
I thought they were better than Red Bull because they had milk thistle in them. And so they're cleaning my liver out. But from that, I moved on to having porridge, which, you know, looking back, it was like horrible the way that I made the porridge. And but I just kept going. And then when I started working at the Wedge, then talked more with Audrey, and she kind of became my first mentor. And she told me, she brought me over and would meet like twice a month and cook, and she started showing me things. She started showing me like, you know, you cut your vegetables and clean the knife between vegetables, put the vegetables in a bowl, you know, all these technique things, and this is, you know, there's a better cut for if you go in a diagonal. Or she also gave me my first pressure cooker.
Uh-huh.
And for Christmas, then she gave me my first Le Creuset pot. So I would do the Nishime cooking style. And then she said, well, why don't you go to Gabrielle for a consultation? You know, she's the first counselor she thought, and she had helped Gabrielle. And in time, I became Gabrielle's assistant, you know, after like a year or so, whatever. Then I started assisting her in her cooking classes. And so I went for a consultation with Gabrielle, and she gave me my first kind of like guide thing of what to do, what not to do. And she told me, stop eating cashews, because I would eat cashews as a snack, you know, and a lot of nuts. And she said, no, don't eat the nuts.
Uh-huh.
Don't eat the nut butters. And so I said, okay. So overall, she said, you know, I was heading in the right direction and that I was complementing things with, you know, homeopathy, acupuncture. So I immediately went east. You know, in my mind, when the doctors were like, because I don't do retrovirals at all.
Right. Okay.
I've never done them. So when the doctors said to me, well, you can serve it, I said, no. I'm not going to,
uh-huh.
Because it, from the acupuncture point of view, everyone told me, you know, you got to find a balance. It was this whole talk about balance,
uh-huh.
That homeopath, acupuncturist, Gabrielle, my readings in macrobiotics, because of course then I started getting, you know, the macrobiotic path.
Yes.
No, yes, the macrobiotic path, and changing seasons, cookbook. And theory books, you know, collected lectures of Michio Kushi. So I would go to South Minneapolis, present moment, and just grab a book and devour it, you know. And then I started noticing with the acupuncture and the food, the night sweats went away. And I had a lot of energy. I didn't feel tired. And my job was very humbling, having to, you know, scrub toilets. And I was doing it alone all the time and helping people. You know, I would help people. And because I speak a lot of languages, they would call me, you know, if there were people that were shopping, they were French or whatever, they would call me to speak language or Spanish or what have you. And so then I helping others became very important. And so then Audrey has been seeing Denny Waxman in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And my results, you know, they were pretty impressive. I went, you know, from it was like over 300,000 copies per milliliter. In a matter of 3 months, it went down to 150,000 copies per milliliter of the virus. So it was cut in half. And my immune system started to go up, which I said, well, that's normal after seroconversion. But yet they didn't say anything. They didn't push anything because they asked me, what are you doing? And I said, well, it's macrobiotic. And so my doctor, Frank Rehm, who's a wonderful doctor, and he's been very supportive also of my decision in Minneapolis, he set me up with my doctor here, Lucas Sponagel, and he types into my chart, you know, macrobiotics. And yeah, so he's very accepting because he sees the results of it. But going back to my journey, so then I talked with Audrey, and she said to me, "Well, maybe you should come see Denny. I've been seeing Denny since 1994, and she had also done the, I believe it's called the Way to Health over the Cushy Institute.
Okay.
And she told me, "Well, if you can do that for a week, whatever, or if not, we can just go to Denny." So I went over to Denny and see him like once or twice a year. And he set me on a good program, and he's been so wonderful. He's always been like, if anything happens, just call me. Like the one time, I haven't had any big, although I did have a sinus infection recently, and I had to contact him, but I called him for a flu that I had, and he told me what to do. And the turnaround for that flu was one day. It was gone in one day. I just did, it was the daikon ginger kukicha tea, and then lay in bed, cover yourself up, sweat, then wipe off all the sweat, get out and wipe off all the sweat. And so I did that, and it was gone. I was like, wow, that's amazing. And right now, which I should email him on that, I had a sinus infection, and now that I've been here in Switzerland and I've been snacking too much on bread, and it was my right sinus. And so I started researching, you know, and then I went back to what's become my Bible, you know, my first macrobiotic book, and so it, in effect, yeah, what I read, right sinus, yep, the breads, and yeah, I've been eating a lot of steamed sourdough bread. But eventually I would do, in the Strengthening Health Institute, I did a whole week, you know, just to continue solidifying. Then I helped Gabrielle also. So it was just like what, you know, getting all this information of how to cook and how to do it. Denny and Susan, wonderful, wonderful in terms of teaching me and being very supportive, being available at all times. And I just keep informing Denny of my results. Go to the doctor and get the results, and the thyroid load keeps going down. My immune system has gone up. I'm now at the 529 for my CD4. Absolutely, and the CD4 is the main immune system cell that fights off pathogens, but it's also the one in which the HIV virus replicates itself. So it kills it. And the one thing, though, that right now I have to kind of figure out what to do in terms of my diet is CD8, which is the one that calls off a battle in the body. Those have increased quite significantly. So my body doesn't think that it's ill. So that's probably the sinus infection plus the breads, you know. And so it doesn't know that there's something happening. But in that, I'll see it. And that's the wonderful thing, I think, of macrobiotics, that it's not like one way of eating, but it's many ways of eating. And so you keep kind of adjusting. That's what I notice when I go for consultation with Denny, that, okay, now do this, do that. Like, and I used to have it in my fridge just to keep it clear, you know, like Monday, let's say I would have Monday, sweet vegetable drink, Tuesday, dried daikon drink, Wednesday, umekusu, you know, and then next day I think it was a pause, and then kind of repeat the cycle. But for a while I did the sweet vegetable drink. I did it like, I think it was, gosh, I want to say like every day for a long time. And it's just reacquainting yourself with all the vegetables, like and everyone teaching me, you know, like just blanched vegetables, how sweet they are, and Gabrielle teaching me how to kind of you know, cook dandelion greens and mustard greens, and then of course the whole week with Denny and Susan, that was, you know, including from Doan to meditation, to theory, to the cooking classes. That was an incredible experience that I hope to continue, you know, because my thirst for the macrobiotic knowledge, the macrobiotic path and way keeps increasing every day. Like, I don't regret at all what I'm doing, and I'm free. Like, for the sinus infection, I followed kind of lotus tea compress and lotus tea drink, and it was like my body responds right away to the things. Mm. Like, the following day, it was way better.
Mm. Amazing.
So, yeah. So, in a nutshell, that's, you know, that's pretty much it. You know, my immune system keeps fluctuating. It's dropped, and at times kind of scary, and then the word retroviral starts to pop up, you know, in conversation with the doctor. And But then the following time, it goes up, and so then they're like, okay, now you're doing better. And so then in that sense, the only symptom that I have is this hairy oral leukoplakia on my tongue, which...
Okay, what is that?
That one is kind of like overgrowths in the tongue, and it medically they say it's a symptom from immune-suppressed people due to the Epstein-Barr virus,
okay,
which you never really get rid of, like most a lot of viruses you really don't get rid of. And so it's kind of just the immune system keeps it suppressed. But because my immune system is, you know, kind of dealing with another agent, then it cannot keep up with the Epstein-Barr. So you see people with HIV that they'll have the oral leukoplakia or herpes outbreaks if they have herpes or warts.
Okay.
And so then that's the only thing that kind of reminds me that there's something not good, but it kind of flares up sometimes. It kind of goes away. And then it comes back. They can't do anything about it. They can recommend antibiotics, but they haven't had any success really in getting rid of it medically. And then macrobiotically, sometimes, you know, depending on what I'm eating, then I can see that it goes away. But I still haven't narrowed it down what it is that I do when it goes away. But I would say it's been a great, as I said, you know, moving from a very selfish place to a very giving place, both macrobiotically and through my AA work and helping, you know, taking meetings to prisons or to like Salvation Army rehab centers. Talk about the diet, because it really, my cravings for drugs have gone away.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to the diet, I really believe, and thanks to my work, because once you embrace the whole lifestyle, it becomes so much about the other and so much about the world and how to create a better world and how to help each other. And that's what I've found in the macrobiotic community, of how they've helped me so much and given so much without expecting anything in return. And so then that also, it's kind of how, you know, how Michel recommends, you know, like singing a happy song a day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then that too, you know. And then with my niece, who's kind of, you know, she calls me Papa, so she's kind of become my quote-unquote daughter. You know, I now wake her up singing in the morning. And of course, this whole Steiner system, you know, there's so much. And I see the commonalities between Steiner rhythm. You know, last night I was rereading the whole thing, importance of sitting down during the meal and coming together in dinner, how the gathering energy at dinner or breakfast, how the, you know, the dispersing energy of breakfast, because you're going to start your day, you're going to go out. And so I see all these now commonalities between, let's say, AA, macrobiotics, Rudolf Steiner, and rhythm, you know, how everything is this rhythm and this order of the universe and how nature gives you what you need.
Hmm.
And
yeah.
If you start playing with that, with whether it be the rhythm, the food you eat, or your order in your life. You know, it throws you in complete chaos. And so I think that's what also happens with the body if we don't listen to it.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. And now you're giving you're being of service to give by sharing your story. That's wonderful.
Yeah. I would hope so. I would hope that, you know, that it helps people just to be able to do it, because the more the medical world is really saying, hey, wait a minute, this diet thing is really working.
Yes.
Because even at the Wedge, I eventually became, I applied to work at Health and Body Care, with supplements, granted it's not that weird, but I would see people, and it was funny because then Fern Weiss, who lived in Boston, I believe, was one of the first macrobiotic houses were created, huh? And so she knows your dad, and so she's a buyer at the Wedge. So she would come up to me and she said, "Are you telling people to buy brown rice?" And I would say, "Yes, I tell them to buy, you know," because I would, instead of telling them, "Here's a supplement, blah blah blah, take it," I'd be like, "Hey, well, what about your diet? You know, maybe you shouldn't eat all that food," you know, because I would see their carts with the food, and I would say, "Maybe you don't want to eat that." And immediately, just telling people simple things, you know, look at this book, look at this, or go to Gabrielle Cushy, or, you know, and they would come back and be grateful, and they would say, "Hey, you know, thank you for introducing me to this, and or thank you for giving me Gabrielle's number." This one gentleman, I remember, he lived in Italy, and it was in the end, they didn't know whether it was viral or what, but finally it came down, it was the tomatoes and eggplants and pepper, all the nightshades that he had overconsumed had created a terribly acidic system. And then in sending him over, you know, for to see Bob Gallagher and have him talk the same way that he did with me, then he found macrobiotics and it started the healing.
Yes. Wonderful. So for those of you who don't know, Gabrielle Cushy is my sister-in-law, and she is in Minnesota, Minneapolis, and she has a website, Cushy's Kitchen, Kushis, kitchen.com, and you can contact her there. And she also gives cooking classes and consulting in Minneapolis. And you mentioned Denny Waxman. Denny Waxman is in Philadelphia at the Strengthening Health Institute. You can contact him at dennywaxman.com, dennywaxman.com. So I just want to recap on the timeline of events. What year was it when you first noticed you had symptoms?
I started noticing some lymphatic thing by the end of 2005, but 2006,
okay,
beginning of 2006, let's say.
Okay, and then when did you confirm it was HIV?
May 2006.
May 2006, okay. And then when did you start on the macrobiotics?
Then, in May 2006. I went cold turkey into it.
Okay, great. So you didn't do any medical anything at all?
No.
That's amazing. So just homeopathy, macrobiotics, and acupuncture.
And acupuncture, correct.
And AA.
And AA. Mm-hmm.
And any other support or meditation or anything like
yes.
that?
Yes. Yep, I do Zen meditation.
Okay.
And in Minneapolis, the Minneapolis Zen Center has on Thursdays an AA, a kind of cross between AA and meditation.
Okay.
And there I found who would become sort of my Dharma teacher, Bart. Oh my God, I don't know his last name because of course it's AA. And so he is a wonderful man, and he has the same condition.
Uh-huh.
And it was so inspiring, you know, that what peace he had in him. And so he encouraged me with meditation and all the Dharma teachings and everything. And that too, if anyone's in Minneapolis, ever check out the Minneapolis Zen Center.
Great. And now, whenever you get a cold or some kind of symptom, do you just take those remedies or those home? No medications, nothing whatsoever. Right?
No medication at all. I don't take like for a headache, I'll put kale and cabbage on my head and kind of suffer a bit, but then it goes away. I do keep some ibuprofen in case I were to have a high fever and I would fear that my brain, but I haven't had to use it.
Okay.
It's just kind of my, but I now here in Switzerland, I do see a homeopath who does biometrics.
Okay.
Which is through this machine, and they mesh the body, kind of tells what remedy it needs. So I've gone through several remedies, which is three different remedies. For 3 months, so it's classical homeopathy.
I see.
And then that's it, classical homeopathy, acupuncture in Minneapolis, if anyone's there. Dr. Li Gu is a wonderful homeopath, Chinese, doesn't speak English, but there's translators. And he's very into the, I found, how the East is so interested in these challenges.
Yes.
And how Chinese medicine also matched, even though there's, at times kind of confusion when I would talk with acupuncture about yin and yang, because they see it differently. but in the end, it's the same. If you really understand the concepts, then you're like, oh, yeah, we're talking about the same thing about contraction and expansion. And so everything was coinciding, So I said, well, let's. And then sometimes I have conversations with Ayurvedic people, and they're like, and certain things also coincide. Although Ayurvedic involves other things, but the Chinese are kind of based on the Ayurvedic, and then kind of historically they're all connected.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
So I'm going to open it up now to questions. If you have a question, press 5-star on your phone. Feel free to do so anytime, and I will see you. So feel free to press 5-star on your phone if you have a question. So you went from drugging and drinking and partying and eating meat and dairy and sugar and all kinds of things and working in bars and having this party lifestyle and just stop cold turkey. Is that
exactly
rid of everything and started eating brown rice and vegetables and miso soup and all of that?
That's miso soup every day, like twice a day, and then I would have right after work I would pop in an umeboshi plum. So I would have an umeboshi plum per day, and then he laughed. He said, "Okay, we gotta lay back at the umeboshis," because it was like a pill,
Right.
Pop in that umeboshi plum into my mouth and just hold it there for a while I did other things.
Right. Oh, wow, wonderful! So, now, did you have any? Was it hard? I mean, it must have been really hard. Did you crave and have wanting to take things or going through? I mean, when you stop addictions, you really go through this.
Oh yeah, it was very hard. I would eat a lot of rice cakes in the beginning, or I would eat a whole thing of takwan, instead of a few little pieces, I would eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I would crave croissants.
Uh huh.
And so I remember one day I went into the Wedge, and they have wonderful croissants at the Wedge. I think the best croissants in Minneapolis. And I think I probably bought 6 croissants.
Uh-huh.
And I ate them. And one night, I remember also, I went to Super America, and I bought a Super Mom's donut.
Uh-huh.
And then I'd be like, why am I doing this? So it was kind of a bit roller coastery, but I would always be like, no, you just gotta do it. You just gotta go into it. And having gotten rid of so much, and then I found out Ezekiel cereal, and so in order to get something crunchy. And then talking with Gabrielle, I talked about it, but then I binge on this, what can I do? And she said, well, if you want something crunchy, why not carrots? Or, you know, and okay. And then the cashews became like my sweet. So then that was a really hard one to break.
Yeah.
But I just stuck with it, and it helped also, like, shortly after I became macrobiotic, my dear friend Ivan, he also became macrobiotic. And then with Audrey, so then getting that support, I think, was very, that kind of network of people was very important.
Right, right. Were they calling you every day and, like...
Yep, and seeing how I was doing, and then eventually I would find a sponsor who is within the AA program who's has hepatitis C,
okay.
And so it was very understanding. So then I would have to call him every day and tell him how I was doing, and then in terms of the addiction, then when I finally went to see Denny, then he kind of told me, if you are craving, then look at your salt. If I'm craving drugs, let's say, then look at my salt. Maybe I'm using too much miso or too much shoyu. And then because my body already knows that I can go to the drugs to find balance, if I'm too much at one end,
yes,
then it'll go there.
Yes. And did that help? That worked out?
Yes, that has worked out. So then for a while, when I would start feeling like a drug craving, of course, I would, you know, call my sponsor or what have you, but then I would also look at what I was doing, and maybe instead of doing miso soups, I would do vegetable soups. And also the miraculous thing that told so many people is the warm carrot juice.
Warm carrot juice, okay.
Because it relaxes you. It calms you down. Even people that are not macrobiotic at the Wedge, they would be like, you know, kind of like uptight or whatever, or they would be other actors or what have you, be like, I got this audition. So have some warm carrot juice. And then for my soul sister, for Daniela, I said to her, try the warm carrot juice with pear juice. And because that was something that I kind of by accident found out at the juice bar. And so I was like, you know, and it was so... relaxing and warming at the same time. And so then little combinations like that, or warm apple juice, that kind of helped in terms of the sweet carrots. And the sweet vegetable drink, of course, helped.
Yes.
Once I started.
Vegetable drink, that's carrot, onion, squash, right?
And cabbage, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or dried daikon, because then he had me switch a bit to dried daikon.
Okay, great. So if you have a question, please press 5-star on the phone, on your phone, and I'll pick you. So have you talked to your parents, or what do your parents think about all of this?
Well, I had stopped communication with my parents for like 16 years when I'd left home. And then eventually I reconnected with my sister when I was in California. And
they live in Honduras, is that
right? They live in Honduras, yeah. They live in Honduras. They're separated. My dad has his own family now with two daughters. And then there's my sister and I are from the first family. And so I think my parents found out through my sister, and then my mom tried to reconnect, and I said, okay, you know, I kind of forgive all the other things, and sure, let's reconnect. You can come over to Minneapolis if you like. Not as my mother. I said, I would love to have a friend.
Yeah.
And so she came, and because she likes to cook as well, and she noticed how I spent so much time in the kitchen and cooking and doing all this, and she liked the food. And then she has high blood pressure and also arthritis.
Uh-huh.
And eating the food that month that she was here, she said, just within like a week, she said, my blood pressure is fine. And then look at my hands, she would say. I can flex my fingers and they don't hurt.
Yes.
And the swelling in her feet, would go away, and we could walk a lot. Because in that too, I would walk to work and back from work. So there I would get like 30 minutes or so of walking. Because I really haven't worked out. I used to go to the gym and work out and then go up to the sushi restaurant that was in the gym and have sushi and martinis. But then I decided I need to cut my expenses, so no more gym. Plus, I really can't exert myself that much. So I just focus on buying good produce and good food. But still, I've kept so much muscle tone. I mean, I lost weight, and that was really sad. I used to weigh 145. 7.5 body fat, and then I went to after seroconversion, I think it was like 120, and so I was really skinny, and now I'm at like 130 something, and having good muscle tone, like people tell me, oh my God, you have good muscle tone, and skin is really nice. Sometimes I get a few little things that might come out. I think it's the body pushing things out, but people say to me, "What do you do with your skin? What lotion do you use?" And I say, "No, I just do a body rub every morning." That's how I start my day, and it really is for everyone that's listening. The body rub is really wonderful thing. It's kind of like a cup of coffee for a non-macrobiotic. Wakes you up. It moves circulation. Gets going. And it's really, I think, one of the important things to do, and one of the easiest things to let go, I think. It's easy to skip it. So it took me a while to get into the rhythm of it.
And that's just a hot hand towel, hot water hand towel, right? You just rub on your hand, all over you, yes?
Correct. You just fill up a basin. If you don't have a basin, just filling up like your sink would do with hot water, as hot as this, you can tolerate it, and you grab the towel, fold it in half again, put it in the water, wring it, and then just using the weight of your hand, as you would put it on, let's say, your other arm, then you just rub your body back and forth, and that will stimulate the circulation and... At first, you'll notice you'll be kind of blotchy. Some areas are red, areas are not red, and that's because the circulation is sluggish. But then as you do it more often in the whole body, and you don't need to put a lot of pressure. That was a mistake that I did once, that I was putting a lot of pressure to the point that I made myself bleed in my legs.
My goodness.
I was a little maybe obsessive compulsive there. But yeah, so just the weight of your hand, and because our skin is more delicate, I think, now as a species, we're not out like farmers or, in the fields or soldiers, if you think, in other times, being out in the sun and the elements more, we're more sheltered, so the skin's more delicate.
Yes. Well, some people still live that way, but of course...
That's right. Some people still live out in the farm. And you notice that. You see that their skin is tougher, and so they could do more. With this friend of mine, Melissa Ferris, who's owner of Veriditas Botanicals. So it's essential oils.
Huh?
And she recommends dry brushing.
Uh-huh.
But for me, I tried it once, and I love the oils, sure, but it feels just a bit too harsh on the skin.
Right.
Although culturally, I do understand, Japanese through dry brushing and so that's fine. Or Native Americans do some sort of kind of like dry brushing.
So I'll put it out there once more. If there's any questions, feel free. Press 5-star. We are running out of time. With that, do you have any last main piece of advice that you would give our callers on what to do, both for situation or also in for themselves, no matter what they have?
Yeah. I think that
I mean, it sounds like you seem to have a tremendous amount of discipline and ability to control. I mean, having gone through all of these drinking and drugging and wild lifestyle, you were able to, you know, discipline yourself greatly.
Yes, yeah, and sometimes it takes like something serious to happen, you know. And same with recovery, you have to hit rock bottom.
Yes.
In order, and sometimes I've told sponsees that, you know, when they relapse or whatever, I say, you know, ask the universe to send you something even more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that once you humble yourself, or are humbled before the universe, then you are able to begin the great work.
Yes.
And I would say that if you just start with simple things, you know, like taking the time for meals every day, for instance, sitting down to eat. You know, I see so many people, especially here in Switzerland, that just are eating their bread and their sweets and everything as they're walking.
Yes.
And there's no, you know, and even the economy is set up that way, that if you stay in a cafe to eat your pastry or coffee or whatever sandwich, they charge you more. So, of course, it almost encourages the eating, walking. But I would say that if someone just begins that way, just by sitting down and eating your meals while you're seated and chewing slowly and just honoring that time of eating, that's a big beginning. And then little by little, you can start to add, let's say, the grains. You know, and like with Valeria, what I started doing was mixing the dry cereal with my morning porridge. And then now it's just a little bit of cereal with my morning porridge. Or sometimes it's just my morning porridge that I give her. So I started adding before taking away.
Right.
And then if you start adding the vegetables, you know, you start, if you still have the meat there, just adding the vegetables. There's a great book that I'm making, The Transition to the Macrobiotic Diet.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Which, of course, I found way after I had become macrobiotic.
Okay.
And I laughed. I said, what? You mean I could have transitioned into this? But I think that when it's a serious condition, just to go ahead full force with it, and the body, if it responds, it responds. I think, like I learned from Bob Gallagher, the body wants to heal itself. It wants good. And to watch also nature, I would say. You know, Rudolf Steiner spent so much time out in nature just observing it and looking. He would see spirits, you know, whether he did or not, we don't know. But that's what he said, that he would see spirits. And in watching nature, what it gives at each time, to respect those rhythms and the food that nature gives you at a certain time, and to align yourself with that. And that it's about balance, I would say, and not to be discouraged if you have a sort of food relapse.
Yes.
But to just pick up, you know, it's almost like having a drug relapse. Don't be discouraged. Just pick up again and start again.
Yes, great. Well, wonderful. I think we're just about out of time, so I just want to thank you again. And if you do have additional questions, you can visit the website, Phiyakushi, www.phiyakushi.com. And under the entry for Alejandro, there you can comment and ask questions there. So feel free to do that. So again, I just want to thank you again so much, Alejandro, for being on our call. Really, it was wonderful to have you. You did mention this study at Boston University that was done with AIDS and macrobiotics, and by my father, and there was a doctor involved. Her name was Dr. Martha Cottrell. She is actually going to be on one of the calls coming up soon. Sharing her perspective on autoimmune diseases. So that will be coming up. It hasn't been scheduled yet, but she agreed to be on. So that will
Perfect. I'll be calling in for sure to that one.
Yes. So I just wanted to mention that. But up next tomorrow, Monday evening, our guest will be Sanai Suzuki. Sanai was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. She'll be on tomorrow night, so call in tomorrow night, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Marissa Marinelli will be hosting next Sunday, a week from today. We will have a special guest. His name is Alan Gompers, and he has a unique story of he discovered macrobiotics in prison, in maximum security prison. And he found freedom and peace and good health while in prison. That will be a very interesting call next week. So thank you again. Thank you, Alejandro, again. I really think this is a really, what you did is wonderful and really inspirational, and I hope it will help many people and inspire many people and to address the HIV and other infectious diseases in the world. So thank you. Thank you to all the callers. Any last words, Alejandro?
Well, and just in that, knowing the other HIV people, I think there's so much fear with HIV, and immediately everyone wants to give me the meds, give me the meds. But my last word, I'm having lower figures than people that are following the conventional paths, and I don't have the, let's say, the kidney infections or liver infections that are prevalent with people that, because the body, you know, these chemicals are so hard on them. But just don't be afraid to be out of the norm. And dare to embrace alternative way, or dare to embrace nature, and then nature will help you heal yourself. And if there are any other questions that anyone has, you know, that can be forwarded through you, Fia, and then you can send them to me. I'd be more than happy to answer them.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Okay. Great. So, again, you can email me at fiak, P-H-I-Y-A-K, at gmail.com. That's my email. And thank you again, and have a great afternoon. Thank you, Alejandro. Really wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Goodbye. Have a great afternoon or a great evening, wherever you may be calling. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.